This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Now, my sitting height is pretty average. It's the legs that do the heavy lifting for my height.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm all torso.
You're like a child's drawing of a human.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam. Punch Up the Jam.
Hi! Welcome.
Hi!
Can you meet me at my level, please?
Hi!
Welcome to Punch Up the Jam! My name's Miel Brado. This is the podcast where I try to make the greatest hits even greater, and again, have never done it. Not even one time today.
So wouldn't you be asked to leave eventually if you can't keep doing it?
Who would ask me to leave? Who's going to ask me to leave?
I guess just the populace.
Chris, you can't be already drinking a boba. It's so early in for you to be slurping on air.
Wow, I forget you got perfect pitch. You got those coyote ears on you.
Listen, people already know that you're back, but I need to introduce you anyway. You ready?
That was just my camelback that you heard. That wasn't even an actual...
You know him! As the man who always slurps his boba directly into the microphone on this podcast, it's Chris Fleming!
Help me! Somebody please! Get me out of here!
People probably are wondering why you have agreed to do this yet again. Why are you back? Explain yourself.
Were you playing those accordions with your feet? Were you stomping?
Yeah.
On those
like
things?
Paul McCartney's
backing I've never heard it go that long before.
Yeah, that's actually Eleanor Rigby. People ask me all the time, what is that music? It's my synth remix of Eleanor Rigby. Chris, really, really, really quick. Just really, really, really quick. Can you please tell everyone why you're back again?
I've told you because Miel keeps threatening to release my medical records. And so I'm back here for the umpteenth time, as they say in my culture.
I said I had a special announcement. Okay, Chris, you're going to make my editing so hard if you keep doing that as a microphone.
I'm really sorry.
It's okay. Honestly, I'm really sorry that you're doing this again, but I am not sorry because having the same guest means that people get to pick the songs that we punch up. So that's what happened today. I asked Twitter and Instagram, what do you want to punch up? And
oh, hell broke loose on there.
Yeah, that was made a bit of a mistake. That was a lot of responses.
It was wild.
However, the one that I saw a lot that I'm excited to do is Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran. Not to be confused with Durian Durian, which is my ska band from high school. Christopher, do you have any experience with this song? Do you have any history with this song? What are your thoughts on this song?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any certain memories of it. I don't. I nothing.
Don't you remember the music video on MTV? It was just always playing. Even when I was growing up, you know, 10 years after it came out. It came out in 1982.
And they were still playing it?
I've seen the video like 100 times.
Well, you were watching MTV Euro probably on the island, right?
Well, it's like an iconic video. And I guess the music video is what broke them in America. Like they've had a following in Europe, but America really wasn't into them, and then this video came out and MTV would not stop playing it, and suddenly everyone was like, whoa, Duran Duran, huh? Have you seen it? Do you know what I'm talking about?
If I remember, there's something kind of archaeological about it. It's like an Indiana Jones type vibe, right?
Okay, I'm so glad you said that because I grabbed this quote from the guitarist Andy Taylor. He describes the music video as Indiana Jones is horny and wants to get laid.
Wow. Wow.
That's a quote. Thank you.
Wow.
I have a couple other notes about this song. There's so much. I just grabbed what pleased me most. So the song is supposedly inspired.
Grab what pleases you.
Thank you so much. I love Marie Kondo. supposedly inspired by Little Red Riding Hood.
No.
Which really raises a lot of questions right at the top. Like, did you think the takeaway from Little Red Riding Hood was that the wolf wanted to fuck the little kid? Or the wolf ate the grandma because he was horny? I don't understand.
No, that wasn't.
Because I've never heard, when we talk about like classic similes, I've never heard hungry like the wolf. That's not a phrase.
No, no. I mean, well, especially sexually, it's the one thing cross-culturally we are all taught to fear is the wolf.
Hung like a horse, hungry like a wolf. Not a saying.
Well, I like hungry like the wolf too, not a wolf, the wolf. Like
right.
how I call you the watcher, you know? It's kind of
Stop.
Like
You can't use inside jokes on a podcast.
It's not. It's not an inside joke. That's just, that's your title in my phone, The Watcher. How often do wolves eat? I just Googled. Gray wolves can survive on about 2.5 pounds of food per wolf per day. Whoa, that just gave me vertigo. Per wolf per day. That's like a theater warm-up. Per wolf per day. But they require about 5 to 7 pounds per wolf per day to reproduce successfully. The most a large gray wolf can
wait,
eat.
Wait, so wolves, hang on. So then, hang on. You're telling me that the wolf's hunger is directly correlated to their horniness.
To how horny, well, if they're looking to reproduce. Yeah, if they need to, to mate, they need to eat about twice what they usually eat.
We are answering questions before we've really even had the opportunity to ask them. I need to give you a couple more notes. Listen to the way the song starts.
The most a large gray wolf can eat at one time is about 22.5 pounds. Adult wolves can survive for days and even weeks without food if they have to. That's it. That's the blurb. That's it.
I need you to pay attention to how the song starts. One more time. Okay.
That is a woman laughing at a man's inadequacy.
Well, you bring up an interesting point because that girl, she also screams later in the song. It is band member Nick Rhodes. It's his then girlfriend.
So she's in the studio and and she's laughing. That is a sinister laugh. Yeah, keep it coming.
One more time. I think I can get it exactly. Hang on.
That is not a laugh at. That is not a laugh with. That's a laugh at.
Imagine if they used my laugh at the top. And then the song starts.
You have the kind of laugh where it sounds like broth is kind of coming out of your mouth, you know? Like I can hear it dribbling.
I laugh like a king. I laugh like a hearty king feasting. Yeah, I do hear that.
I hear you. It's like dripping back into the cauldron is kind of the laugh. You know?
No, I'm imagining this is a deep Lord of the Rings cut, but it's like it's Faramir and Boromir's dad, you know, the steward of Gondor, whose name escapes me, and he's like eating those grapes.
The steward
while,
of
like,
Gondor.
Like Pepin sings in that
if
song.
If I didn't
that's
have my trombone lessons, maybe I'd remember later.
Fuck
my
you,
glasses. This is a deep cut of the Lord of the Rings. Okay, sorry. Okay.
Bassist John Taylor says he, quote, doesn't really know what the lyrics mean. And maybe it's because, as is the case with a lot, I said cased, we're not going to discuss it. I have kings on the brain. As is the case with a lot of the songs we discuss on this podcast, this song was written in, guess what?
20
One
minutes.
Single day.
Yeah, definitely. You can tell.
All the band guys were just like zip, zap, zopping around with like 808s and the fucking Jupiter, whatever that famous keyboard is. Anyway, he has this quote.
They're clearly fucked up on O'Doul's, you can tell, the whole time. They're back to back.
This.
Oh, sorry.
I want to read this quote he has just because I feel like if you are lucky enough to have some success in your career, this is something that'll make you really not want that.
Are you talking to me right now?
Yeah, of course I am.
Oh, my God.
Of course I am, Chris. Who else would I be talking to? My dog? No, we're on not speaking terms anymore after 2 months alone in my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
Things went bad?
Things went bad on day two. We need a divorce. It's interesting when you're at that time in your career when you just don't have to think twice about anything, you know? I guess you're always striving to get back to that. It's that combination of confidence and naivete actually that just allows you to, I call it surfing the zeitgeist. It's when everything you do is right. You don't have to think. You're so plugged into what's happening.
I call it climbing the beanstalk.
And then as you get older, then you start thinking. And by that point, the press and the media have said so much about you that you become self-conscious. And then it becomes more difficult the more self-conscious you get.
Oh, my. That is brilliant. I mean, I so relate to that. If like people describing you is the worst thing you can do for yourself.
You can't get away from it ever again. Those days are over.
And even, oh, wow. Yeah. And even you become a prisoner to like the way people perceive what you do. Oh, my God.
I have often had that fear, but hearing him say it so succinctly, I'm just so whatever.
That's why Kate Bush lives in a sensory deprivation tank after. And she just throws her CDs into Times Square with her ears plugged, wearing a Ronald Reagan mask. And then she goes back into the depths.
I want to read one last thing before we get into the song. It's from patron Rachel Elkins. They say,
Rachel
great
Elkins?
Song,
okay.
Famously, Rachel Elkins. They say, great song in its own right, but I can never hear it without immediately picturing Paul Giamatti as Marty Wolf doing his morning routine in the 2002 instant classic, Big Fat Liar. Did you see that movie?
No, I did not. Wait.
So I didn't either.
What is it? Wait, it sounds like
Big Fat Liar. It's Paul Giamatti, Amanda Bynes, and Frankie Muniz. I just texted you a link. You will need to watch this on air, and I will need to hear your reaction. Thank you.
Okay, again, let me unblock your number. Get out of here. Nunes is thrilled to see him do this. Oh my God.
I had never seen Big Fat Liar because I'm an older millennial, I guess. I just was slightly too old for this. But I guess the premise of this movie is that Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes are essentially Amelie-ing Paul Giamatti, you know, pulling like a series of pranks to make him feel like he's going crazy. And I guess one such prank is
The twits.
Right. They put dye in his pool that turns him bright blue. And while for some reason he swims, he inexplicably starts his swim by screaming, "Hungry!" slamming a button by his pool, which cues Duran Duran to start playing. And then he swims until he turns bright fucking blue.
So you're describing the American dream right now, is what you're simply describing. Oh my God. So
and also to see Paul Giamatti in like, it's a lot. It's honestly, in these times, it's too much. In this economy, I can't handle this clip. Thank you so much, Rachel, for bringing this to my attention.
Hungry.
With all that said, are you ready to get into the song?
Yeah.
I have so many thoughts immediately. First and foremost, what is happening with that synth? Do you notice, like, I think the things we first hear are like that guitar and that drum and that girl laughing, but something really insane is happening with that synth.
Then you're talking about the Rainforest Cafe arpeggiator?
Yeah, I found an isolated version. It's just the vocal in the synth. Listen to how insane this sounds by itself.
Oh, that's just
I mean, it's batshit crazy, right?
I think that's Phil Collins' dream map. I think they hooked Phil up to a sleep reader machine, and that's just play it again for me.
It does sound like some Willy Wonka shit.
Oh my God. That's what they blast at the Rainforest Cafe when you're trying to fill out the application. And the employees' ears are just bleeding and they're like, "Please, enough!" And it comes out of the rhino's mouth. It's just...
But then listen to how intensely
and
the
they're eating
changes.
Volcano desserts off of a vibraphone. Off of the marimba. Do you know what I'm talking about when the waiter comes in and they all have to scream volcano and every 45-year-old waiter has to come sprinting in whenever anyone orders that dessert? Have you ever been? Was there ever one on the island?
Yeah, there's a Rainforest
Cafe
crying? On Orcas Island. You're rubbing it in a little deep, Chris. Can we relax?
Is there a jail on Orcas Island?
No, Chris, there's no jail. There's not even a stoplight.
You have to go off island for jail? There's no stoplight? It's just chaos.
I just want to point out how insane it is that this is the vibe without the drums and guitar. Way up is a fire. And then with it. It's not insane how that bass just changes everything.
Yeah, it really takes it from like kind of a Blue Man Group feel to like a three guys hanging outside a liquor store.
Christopher, please don't mock me on my own podcast.
Did you say ride him twice?
Please shut up. please shut the fuck up.
Marissa, keep that. Marissa, keep it.
We need to discuss what he said. Dark in the city, night is a wire. Steam in the subway, earth is a fire. It sounds like he's saying dude, 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 which is exactly what I sound like when I'm really stoned and want to get my friend's attention to say absolutely fucking nothing.
Dude,
dude, dude, dude, dude, dude, dude. Dude. Next time we listen to it, think about that, okay? Here, let's keep moving.
Okay. It's a real cop-out, that the do-do section.
Why? You don't like it?
I mean, like, imagine if you were writing something and you were like, you wouldn't do that. You would feel like, oh, I should probably say something here.
I don't know. I mean, a hook's a hook. And this song is very catchy. I mean,
I guess the way to the zeitgeist is through monosyllable or nonverbal stuff. I guess you're probably right.
Well, I think the do is a little played out, but like, I mean, people still go and yeah all the fucking time. Is that any different?
And yabo.
Yeah, people say yabo all the time.
Right.
Yabo, 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 whoa.
They go, ay, ay, yabo, yabo.
No, it's me going, dude, 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 dude. Have you ever thought about how we domesticated ourselves?
Oh, shit.
I want to discuss too, woman, you want me, give me a sign. And catch my breathing even closer behind. It's so unabashedly horny. Why are people choosing these songs and we're alone? This is crazy.
Well, it's kind of predatorial, really. I mean, I guess that's the nature of the wolf. Yeah,
right. Ain't it though? Ain't it though? You're either a wolf or you get wolfed. I've seen The Grey. I know how it goes.
I need to turn your volume down on my headphones.
Is it because I started screaming about The Grey?
Yeah. Is that the Liam Neeson biopic?
Yes, and have I seen it 18 times? Correct.
The Grey. Wait, is he a wolf in that, or he just hangs out with wolves?
No, 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 no. So it's a plane crash that seems realistic.
And they go, like, he's like alone, and they come for him, right?
He's not alone. He's with a team of ex-cons, and only some survive, and he immediately becomes the alpha wolf. There's a lot of allegory happening between the wolves hunting them and the men that are dwindling quickly. It's also, I believe it's Dermot Mulroney. Is also in it.
My best friend's wedding. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
He's super hot, salt and pepper in it, and the wolves be looking good. No, I'm just kidding. Imagine. In touch with the ground. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you. The bass. Smell like a sound. I'm lost in the crowd. And I'm hungry like the wolves. Can I just revisit one line that jumped out to me there? Are you ready?
Smell like I sound? Smell like I sound. I kind of know what he means.
What? What does he mean? Tell me, please.
You know when you hear a guy like screaming and like you're like, oh, I know what this guy smells like.
No? Like, okay, hang on. I'm going to give you a scream and you tell me what it sounds like, okay. Smells like. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow.
Flaming Cheetos. Do another one. chicken broth, another one.
Yeah!
Sandalwood. Whoa. Nothing. It's benign. Do another one.
Okay. Woohoo!
Freshly mowed lawn. Do another one.
Yabo!
Christmas Eve. Do another one.
I'm gonna win!
Yesterday's trash. Do another one.
I just keep doing Mario Kart 64. Woohoo!
Yippee!
No, I tried to do Yoshi. Peachy, bye bye.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
Wow, 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 wow. Okay, sorry. This is not relevant information. I've just been alone for too long and my brain's gone into oatmeal.
You know, if you hover over Toad in Mario Kart, the sound, if you hold it long enough, like for 24 hours, he starts really quietly saying, I should be in jail. I've done so many things that nobody knows about.
That's why he can't take that damn hat off. There's too many secrets under there.
That's right.
There's one line here. Can you guess what it is that struck me?
Yeah, knowing you, I would imagine juice is like wine, probably, right?
The first part, I think the first part needs to be included in that.
Mouth is alive, juice is like wine. Mouth is alive, Okay, right?
Juices like wine.
Mouth is alive. Wow. Which is true for some deep sea creatures, that the mouth actually is technically alive.
Is he referring to the enzyme that breaks down sugars in our mouth? I believe it's called amylase.
How dare you bring amylase
to wine?
So I misheard that. Okay, I thought he's saying juice is like wine, right?
He's saying mouth is alive with juices like wine, I think is such as wine, as if his mouth is alive with several juices, maybe some genital juices, maybe some wine juices.
I always
drool juice.
It kind of, the juices like wine thing, it sounds like a man trying to get teens to drink. That's how I hear that. He's saying,
hey kids, you want some juice?
Hey, wine is like, juice is like wine. It's like, you're going to like it. I mean, that's what I think sticks with in
my head.
Wouldn't
that be wine is like juice? I think that's someone trying to get alcoholics hooked on juice.
Oh, you think it's actually it's the inverse of, it's trying to get people off
of booze. Hey guys, you know what a lot like wine is?
if you like wine, you're gonna love juice. Also, you want to come play ultimate frisbee with me and some really cool guys tomorrow morning for 24 hours
at 6 a.m I can't even pay attention. Okay, he says a lot of weird shit. Okay, the whole chorus is in touch with the ground, which, is he falling down a lot? Because amen, brother, I feel you on that. Trick ankles. I'm on the hunt. I'm after you. Metaphor, we get it. Smell like I sound. I'm lost in a crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolf.
So he's on all fours in a crowded area.
Straddle the line in discord and rhyme, which is like, this is not a song to be poetic. Thank you. What's his name? Nigel Longbottom? Nigel Bonbon? I'm on the hunt. I'm after you. Mouth is alive with juices like wine. Also makes me wonder, blood. I mean, is blood a juice? Is blood juice? Hey, is blood technically juice?
Mm.
I think we have to go to a break.
Good night.
And we're back. Is blood juice? And I'm hungry like the wolf. Stuck in the forest, too close to hide. Honey upon you by the moonlight side. Yeah, I'm starting to see what you mean about the dudes. I don't like them anymore.
They kind of remind me of, You ever hear of the New Guinea singing dog? So I had this dog book. I was really shy growing up, real, real shy, right? And so I had this little encyclopedia of dogs that I just took with me everywhere. And so I would sketch these dogs, and I would memorize all these dog breeds. It's like the only thing that I know anything about. And so they had all these, and every breed had like two adjectives for the temperament. But let me tell you about the last page of this dog book, the New Guinea singing dog. Okay, and every temperament up until that point was like friendly, kind. It was like very like, the New Guinea singing dog was pariah, ruthless. It was like the bitchiest. It was like treacherous, unscrupulous, not to be trusted.
Why is this relevant?
Because we're talking about dogs. We're talking about wolves. Oh, and the do-do-do-do. It was like a New Guinea singing dog. Yeah, that's one good thing that they do. They do sing.
And strangely, they only sing the hook from Hungry Like the Wolf.
They go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Now, those are just two guys meeting at a bar, getting too drunk, thinking that they're closer than they are. That's at last call.
I want to discuss what he said. Stalked in the forest, too close to hide. I'll be upon you by the moonlight side.
The moonlight side.
Classic moonlight side, Rev. If I had a nickel for every time someone told me they were gonna sexting late at night. Hey, you know what? What time are you gonna be here? Let's just say I'll be upon you by the moonlight side. I'd be like, do you want to fuck or not? Because I don't have time for this.
What MPF are you going to wear, though?
NPF?
MPF.
MPF?
Yeah. SPF or the sun, like what, moon protective? You know, you got to wear the moon cream. If we're talking moon side, what MPF are you going to do? 60? Otherwise, you're going to get the moon burn.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. We need to listen to that again. Okay, he said, supposedly high blood drumming on your skin. It's so tight. One more time. Surely that cannot be correct.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right.
That sounds like lyrics that have been translated out of a language and then back into a language, yeah, like seven
right.
times.
Right.
High blood drumming on your skin. It's so tight.
It's so tight.
Your skin is so tight. That sounds like a real Buffalo Bill doing a real bad job hiding their intentions.
Or a really bad doctor.
What you got is some high blood drumming on your skin. It's so tight. Tight.
That's Dr. Tony Hawk. And then he just does an ollie off of your shoulders. And you're like, ah, why did I go to this skate park?
On my skin, my tight, tight skin.
So tight.
I feel like, doesn't that remind you of like that kid? There was always that kid in high school who would like brag about having particularly loose skin. And they would like use it to do all sorts of tricks.
No.
That might be an island thing. We didn't have a lot going on.
No, I never knew a guy with loose skin.
I feel like I knew at least three. They'd be like, check this out. And they would like grab their jowls and like pull them out to be like wings.
I guess you got to do whatever you can to stick out on the island, you know? You feel my heat, I'm just a moment
behind. Do.
Yeah.
Do what? See, you didn't even finish your question. Do what?
That's what I'm saying. It's a cop-out. Solfege is a cop-out. Rob Moose is going to say that later.
In touch with the ground. I'm on the hunt. I'm the face. We need to discuss what he said. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Now he says, scent and a sound. Which I just, okay, we're just getting more abstract as we're going on. and then I'm lost and I'm found. He's just really trying to be like, hey guys, I know this is like a horny song. It's like a loose allegory about like Little Red Riding Hood that doesn't work at all. And I'm kind of pretending to be an animal, but you know, like I'm a man and I do want to fuck like a human woman. But I'm lost and I'm found. It's like a weird moment to have like a beat as some poetic. I don't even understand what that could mean. You're lost and you're found. Are you in love? I don't know what he's saying.
It very quickly cancels itself out. Right. Right. You think he would just not include that if it like worked itself out so quickly, you know?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, guys. At this point, I don't care. And I kind of just want to get through the song. Like it's just so repetitive. And okay, I'm back on board. I howl and I whine. I'm after you. See, now that's, if I got that sexed, that might work.
I howl and I whine?
I would need voice memos attached. I would need a, oh, and then a, please, meow, please.
Yes.
Some hum horny like the wolf.
Yeah, that sounds great.
What if it was that simple of a punch up, horny like the wolf?
Isn't that gross that to reproduce they have to like have a Thanksgiving meal?
I mean, in a way, don't we all? You're telling me nothing gets you more worked up than eating 22 pounds of meat? You're telling me you never feel more alive in your groin as you do when you eat three turkeys?
Yeah, that's true. After eating.
When I go full Templeton on a smorgasbord of a buffet.
You know, I played Templeton in middle school. I played Templeton the Rat.
Oh my God, I think that's what this chemistry is. I think that's what it is.
That
classic Templetons.
It's when two Templetons go amok.
All right, guys, this has been two Templetons. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, keep us out of the county fair. I don't think anyone else but you would know who Templeton is. I feel,
are you kidding? I love Templeton.
No, you're completely agreeing with what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm sure you love Templeton, but I don't know if anyone else would ever be aware. Like I thought that we had to stop talking about Charlotte's Web. I thought that no one...
No, we never... We're never supposed to stop talking about Charlotte's Web. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Never. Never stop talking about Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte tried
Vegan
to,
icon.
Charlotte tried to do a suicide pact with Wilbur, right? That was the whole point?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right, right.
And he backed out at the last minute and she went through on it.
Yeah. Yeah, Wilbur got cold feet on the pact.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why they always say, cowardly like the pig. Mouth is alive, all running inside. I mean, my man is talking about probiotics. Am I wrong?
My guy's having a 4K, right?
My guy just did a shot of kefir and he's like, my mouth is alive, all running inside. Okay, I need to calm down before we get into this hellscape that is the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yes.
The breathing.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
No.
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 No, thanks.
No. What's happening?
You know what that kind of, you know what I feel like right now?
Hungry like the wolf?
No, no. When I was in kindergarten,
I'm dying to hear what you're about to say.
I convinced my bus driver to drop everyone else off at school. And I was like, you know what? I don't really have it in me today. Take me home. That's kind of what I kind of want the bus driver to take me home right now after listening to that. That was too spooky for me.
You would have gotten along really well with this little girl that rode my bus. She got on with her brother and their dad would always wait with them at the end of the, in a really rural area. Like, listen, the bus.
Like a dead
doesn't
end.
Actually, yeah. Like, no, like not even your, like not even your house. It's like,
oh yeah, no,
the bottom right. of a mountain road.
Of course.
And so like the dad would wait with the kids until the bus came. And
by
then
like a well. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And then like he'd turn around to go walk home when the bus came.
Right.
So he turns around and walks back because like the bus, you know, doing that thing with the flashing lights and the whole show and dance it puts on for the road.
Oh, and, yeah. The whole dog and pony show. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so the little girl, she's like maybe 5 and her brother's like 12. And she waits until her dad's out of sight. And then her brother and her are like going to cross the road to get on the bus. And she just books it.
She's a flight risk. Yeah, she see, this is that's what I'm running. Talking about. She Andy Dufresne.
And her brother, we all watch as her brother books it after her and catches her, throws her over his shoulder and brings her on the bus. And we gave him a rousing round of applause.
Her brother would not let her go a day without public education.
No.
You
no,
need
no,
to
no.
learn about the pilgrims now.
I mean, maybe, I mean, for all we know, you know what I bet she heard? She heard the isolated synth vocal version. Listen to how much scary this is.
Burning the ground. What is he saying? Bun in the ground?
Like, what is that? She's just in there. Imagine being Nick Rhodes' girlfriend. Fuck, like, what? Like, and he's like, it's perfect.
Yeah, that's perfect,
babe.
Put it on tape. It's all right. It's perfect, babe. You're a right geezer. Keep it breathing.
Keep it breathing. And then the noises, we haven't gotten there yet, but the noises they have her make at the end. I'm pretty sure she screams, Mom. Okay, and then it goes back. I don't care what he said in the. I don't care what he said. I'm sorry. He said, burning the ground. I break from the crowd. I mean, I just. Okay. You're saying doesn't make sense. You're wasting our time, Nigel Longbottom. Okay, then finally, the last chorus.
Is his name really Nigel Longbottom?
No, it's absolutely not. I just didn't bother looking it up, and I've never really been familiar with Duran Duran's catalog outside of the film. Sing Street. Outside of the film Sing Street. Well, anyway, his name's Simon Le Bon, so I effectively, I did get it.
You.
listen here.
You know how in reality shows they have those like confessionals in the beginning? The way that his delivery of "I smell like I sound" right there, it sounded like a bro being like, "Look, I smell like I sound. I always put my grandparents first."
I want to draw attention to the noise. Hang on, one more time.
Wait, play that again. Play that back.
That's me crying for my mom after my brother just inflicted damage enough that I'm gonna get sympathy.
Yeah, that's that's an armadillo having twins.
I just feel so bad. Like, she's probably in the studio all day just like being a good studio girlfriend. And he's like, "Can you just scream?" And she's like breathing like she's about to hyperventilate. And he's like, "Just three more takes. Just 14 more takes. Just 65 more takes."
Yeah, that's her calling her mom saying, "Can you take me back to America? I'm tired of dating Duran Duran."
Okay, and then the last 30 seconds, which are rife with more noises like that. Listen. One more time.
Yeah, that's a man dressed as a kitten right there making that sound.
That last one was really loud. Listen.
Yeah.
That's like kind of arguably the last audible part of the song is Nick Rose's girlfriend like, "Mom."
Yeah, I don't like that one bit.
Maybe it's Little Red Riding Hood calling out, "No, you're not my grandma."
Does she ever realize that it's not the grandma? No, she doesn't. She gets consumed, right?
Little Red Riding Hood sat on a clown. No, I don't remember that one. Okay. I don't remember that one. I feel like a lot of interesting stuff happened here musically, but I was too distracted by the insane lyrics and repetitive nature of the song to really pay attention to it.
Do you know I worked with Little Red Riding Hood at Domino's for a little while?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was like super chill. Kind of a narc.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did work at Domino's, and there was a man there who was a criminal, and he had me piss. He was getting a drug test, and he wanted my piss.
Right. You definitely seem like someone who's never done drugs before. I do get that energy from you loud and clear.
Four Mike's Hard Lemonades are stronger than any psychedelic that you can buy. Okay. And I stand by that.
If you wouldn't mind, I'd love to get back to my brilliant segue before you before you needed to tell the world that you worked at Domino's with Little Red Riding Hood. And that is that I really couldn't pay shit attention to what was happening musically here, which is why I'm very excited to hear what Robert Moose has to say about it.
Damn it.
I find myself really drawn to the various rhythms of this song that are woven together so beautifully. The glue for everything is an arpeggiator, which is articulating every 16th note in the song on a range of pitches that seem to be alternating with no predictability. This instrument sets the tonality and also gives everyone something to play to rhythmically. When you have an element of a song that moves so quickly, you essentially can't find a beat to play on that isn't already covered. So the magic is in finding unique but intuitive beat patterns to accent on top of that. The drums, as a result, are more minimal than I would have expected. For the entire verse, you don't even hear the hi-hat, just a kick drum and a darkly tuned snare. The electric guitar has chosen a beautiful little riff that manages to kind of turn the beat around twice, while also having a nice amount of space in it. When I say turn the beat around, I mean that the first big hit is on the offbeat, and then is repeated on beat three. And then it has a six-note figure at the end, which starts for the first time on the beat and the second time off the beat. So it's like off, on, off, on, and so on. The bass player takes kind of an opposing approach, hitting on the beat and then off. So they're kind of chasing each other in a cool way. Then the vocal is all about catchy, repetitive phrasing. The first two lines of the verse are nearly identical, and then there's that cute interjection in thirds from what feels like backup singers almost. I also love the very earnest drum fill that we hear both at the halfway point in the verse and leading into the chorus. And what a chorus it is. Notice that the guitar player actually lays out for the first few bars, coming in with a strongly accented beat 2 on the second C chord, of course, and then playing the surprise D chord in bar 8. This whole section, by the way, is in a new key center, and what's even more unusual about that is that it's stepped down a major third from E to C, so it feels almost warmer and less urgent than what preceded it. The band does certain things to compensate, like adding a bit of a disco beat and a sorrowful, distant keyboard droning the chords, as well as some very Talking Heads-esque vocal harmonies. I like that they use the D chord to both get us into the chorus and out of it. It's not fancy or particularly functional, but it's an undeniably workable move. I'd be remiss in my analytical duties if I didn't address the section between chorus 2 and chorus 3, which I think of as a bit of a hamster wheel. It sounds like the moment when the drugs kick in and we're just kind of biding our time and waiting for something to happen and trying to make it feel experimental and interesting. I'm reminded of a couple other songs that I think do this type of thing a little bit better. The first one in reverse chronological order is my beloved Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. And then there's the song that probably inspired both of these sections, which is Whole Lotta Love by Led Zeppelin. Whatever that is, you probably won't hear it in a Justin Bieber song. But you would probably get a double chorus, which Duran Duran gives us, albeit with a fade out. I'm going to go ahead and recommend the song anyway, just with a couple of asterisks. Enjoy.
I feel like
This bumper boat's bullshit rock completely fists the figure the bass. And the piss-soaked guitar comes, blaring in with one clear message. Mom's new boyfriend's home, and he wants to party. The wet bass can't help but conjure up the image of a 50-year-old pool hopper hitting on a painting at a dive bar. The bullshit drum beat never gets anything done and doesn't chip in around the house, making this the perfect song to use to prove to your new wife's family that you will never be designated driver. The surprise D chord gave me a fear of flying that I will never get over. The unforgivably unearned solfege of the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo section in the what I like to call the Have You Seen My Girlfriend's Kid section after the lead singer has taken what he thought was a quick pickleback shot at a county fair. I'm reminded of a few songs here with the chromatic reach around and the lowered zero that do this better. That do this a little bit better. The Hamster Dance and Hamster Dance 2. Let's fuck. It says to your community that you're not above getting in a physical altercation with a student driver. Now, this pussyfooting around the melodic minor proves to me that our narrator is not, in fact, hungry like the wolf, but at best, hungry like the Silky Terrier, a six-pound toy breed who belongs to Judi Dench and only needs a single nibble of kibble a day. This whole DMV bacchanal reminds me of a recurring nightmare I have where, through a series of gross miscommunications via Gmail, I agreed to play in the pit of Avenue Q, and my arms are too short to reach the cyanide pill in the bridge of my viola that I keep there for just such occasions. I took no issue with this, although it has given me a fear of flying, until Duran Duran, who, as we all know, is one large man named Duran and a smaller version of himself, also named Duran, whom he keeps in a backpack that he wears at all times, Banjo-Kazooie style.
Chris!
What do you mean, Chris?
Right, yeah, no, that Rob section was, it was weird how it was so informative and interesting, and then it just became so completely deranged and personal.
I know, when he talked about, when he talked about the nightmare about having to play for Avenue Q.
Yeah, the pit and couldn't reach his cyanide pill. How could I forget? I need
in the bridge of my viola.
Yeah. I need you to shut the fuck up for a second because
Oh, yes, sorry.
I need to comment on what Rob actually fucking said, you dickhead.
Sorry.
Which was that rhythm thing absolutely blew my mind. I could, like, something with an arpeggiator, I was like, obviously fucked up, but like to the way he put it as the bass and the guitar kind of like chasing each other, like, I really think that works so well musically that it's there and you couldn't quite put your finger on it. At least I couldn't as a resident idiot, but also that then contributes
you're not a resident idiot. Say that, Miguel, please.
But it contributes to the theme of the damn song lyrically. I think that's so interesting, and I'm so goddamn happy Rob's a part of the show. And also, if you like what Rob has to say, you guys should check out his other band, Why Music, because that is an incredible contemporary classical group that everyone should be listening to if you haven't already.
Hell yeah.
And he puts up with your bullshit. I'm obsessed.
Well, he's been sending me cease and desists every single night via fax.
Woo! Wow! 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 With all of that said, I do have an idea for the punch up.
Really?
I do. Yes. For once in my godforsaken life, I do have an idea for the punch up. I think you've done enough in a row that my brain is starting to work again. So let's lay that in here and see what we did.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And now for world premiere.
Hungry Like the Wolf. But what if instead of it being loosely based on a total misinterpretation of Little Red Riding Hood, it was a different fairy tale?
Down in the city, life super stinks. But baby, with me, you could live like a king. Baby, I know a place we could go to cosplay like we're rich. Out in the forest, there is a house where we could live all our fantasies out. We could sit in a chair. No, we don't have to share. There are several. We don't need a key. It's like a timeshare, but we don't pay. There we could eat cold cream of wheat and live wealthy like the bear. Rest your head on one of three beds. Again, we do not have to share. Wouldn't it be nice feeling just right and live wealthy like the bear? Don't say it, 'cause I know what you think. Why would a predator need human things? Bears love luxury, haven't you seen the Charmin documentaries? We'll have everything that we need. Chairs and beds and cold cream of wheat. If they have toilet paper, then I'm pretty sure they have toilets. Out of respect, in that house we won't share a bed. We can have sex, but when we rest, we'll sleep prudish like the bear. It's not a crime to use what we find. Plus, we are humans and they are bears. If all else fails, we don't need to bail. We'll commit felonies like the child.
I don't think they're gonna be cool with this, actually. I think I fucked up. I think we have to get out of here. Oh, fuck. Why did I think this was okay? They're just a family doing their best. I think we're gonna die out here. And I think we deserve it. And we're gonna go to hell. Night on the ground. Don't make a sound. They're on the hunt. They're after us. I smell like a bull. A formerly hot cereal. They're forgiving like the bear. Please, in my defense, it doesn't make sense that you'd eat geriatric breakfast foods. Who is it for? You're carnivores, defying the food chain like the bear. Sorry, shit, I'm really sorry I said that. I'm sorry. Please don't kill me. I can get you more cream of wheat. I know a guy. I can get you so much cream of wheat. I'm sorry.
That was it. What'd you think?
I think that might be one of the more tremendous things I've ever heard.
Yeah, hooray! I hope that it is. We'll find out in the future, which maybe right now. Honestly, time is just a concept to me at this point. Are you ready for Unpunchable Jam?
You can't punch this.
Oh, fuck.
I love to be greeted with an oh, fuck. If I haven't done my job, I don't get one. That was a double negative, but I think you understand what I'm saying. For my Unpunchable Jam, I just wanted to do a song I recently discovered by an artist who makes me feel truly ancient. It is Soccer Mommy, and the song is Circle the Drain. Like a Phoebe Bridgers, but like what if she was like less sad all the time kind of energy. No shade towards Phoebe Bridgers. Love Phoebe Bridgers, but
it is like, I heard a little bit of shade there.
No, but I mean, I think we all can acknowledge she makes like predominantly kind of sad music. You know what I mean?
Wow, are you flipping off an image of Phoebe Bridgers right now on your desktop?
Please don't start beef between me and my sweet, sweet Phoebe Bridgers. I couldn't handle it if she even for a minute thought I didn't like her. In fact, one time I tweeted at her, hey, is your profile picture taken in Arashiyama along the river? And then I deleted it within an hour because I was so embarrassed. I asked a sincere question on Twitter.com.
Was that like that time that you told me about at 3 a.m. where you were tweeting about how you believe is innocent and you want to prove it?
I'm going to bleep that whole thing. Thank you so much.
Don't bleep it.
I'm bleeping it. It's a great song. I highly suggest it. This girl is really talented despite being illegally younger than me. Chris, what is your Unpunchable Jam?
You know, that's all you're gonna say about it?
Yeah. I've done this too many times. I can't. Just you'll listen to it and you're gonna like it or you're not gonna like it. You don't need to hear what I think.
All right. This is a song that I didn't discover, and this is a song that doesn't get played on East Coast radio, but as soon as I came out to the West Coast, it just comes blaring on like once a day probably, and it is quite simply Stand Back by Stevie Nicks. Supposedly, on her honeymoon, she heard Little Red Corvette by Prince, which is like one of my absolute faves, with that desperate synth, you know. And
don't know Little Red Corvette. I only know Giant Big Blue Truck. Keep going. Oh, you're too upset to keep talking. I understand. I have that effect on people. Giant Big Blue Truck.
Wait. I'm back. Sorry. I just flew. It just blew me back against the wall. That's what happened. The power of it. I'm in a computer chair and I went through the drywall. Sorry, I'm back. What did I miss? My headphones ripped through.
You were saying she heard Little Red Corvette on her honeymoon?
Right. And then she called Prince. She pulled over the car supposedly and called Prince and
this is one of your bullshit stories.
No. I saw Stevie live at the Forum and she told this story. It was like such a long story. And she called Prince and was like, "Hey, I love Little Red Corvette." And he was like, "I'll come over to and I'll give you another synth lick. If you have like a song?" And he came up with that synth part. I guess like in their honeymoon suite, Prince came over at like 11 p.m. and just like put that synth down in like 20 minutes and then just like left. Anyway, it's like the perfect song to like, it makes you want to rob a freaking bank. That song.
Wow. Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Okay, so she wrote Stand Back start to finish the same day she heard it on her honeymoon, humming along to Prince's song. Then when she went to record the song, she called him to tell him the story. And 20 minutes later, he showed up at the studio, walked over to the synthesizers that were set up, was absolutely brilliant for about 25 minutes, and then left.
So that's the hard part about being married to a genius. Like on the honeymoon, you have to like, her husband is rolling his eyes in the corner while Prince is like on the synths, and he's just like,
I don't think she recorded on her honeymoon. I think she just wrote it on her honeymoon, but yeah. Still.
Oh, I like that version so much better.
I didn't know that. Thank you for telling me that.
Oh, you're very welcome. If you want to, my Venmo is, MielWade@venmo.org. If you want to just hit me up.
Why do I keep having you on this podcast when you insist on doxing me every single time?
Thank you so much for listening to Why Won't You Dox Me? I'm your host, Chris Fleming Jr. My guest has been Miel Wade. Good night, everyone.
you want to follow me, I'm at Meow Meow Monster. You're at Chris Fleming Fleming or Chris Fluming. You can check out our Patreon where I make mixtapes every single month at Punch Up the Jam. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Bye!
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Hey!
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Okay, now clap one more time before you stop recording. Wait, at the same time as me. Okay, three. No, fuck you. Three. Stop! Three, two, one. Okay, now stop recording.
You should keep that part.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.